2:48 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, a look at one very tough sport. This is the sport of competitive rose gardening. Competitive rose gardening involves men and women from across the country, from places where you'd think it would be really tough to grow roses. And these folks come from all walks of life. The one thing they all have in common, an obsession with roses. Aurelia Scott tells their stories in the book, Otherwise Normal People, Inside the Thorny World of Competitive Rose Gardening. And Aurelia Scott is my guest in this portion of the program. Hi, Aurelia.
Hi, Celeste.
How are you?
I am just fine. It's lovely to be with you.
It's good to talk with you, too. This is such a fun book.
Thank you. It was a fun book to write,
by the way. I bet.
Yeah.
These folks are amazing people.
they are. They are fascinating and determined and joyful people.
Yeah. In the prologue, you say you've met collectors now who one after another told you how their collection of roses grew from 3 or 5 or 9 to 300, 600, even 1,000 plants.
Even 1,000, yeah. There's a rose grower in Minnesota who has 1,000 roses with whom I've talked, and there's a rose grower out in Los Angeles who started with 12 and has 1,000 roses. He calls it the vanishing lawn syndrome. He also said, and listen to this, I planted roses, and with every one I planted, I needed more and more. I love the use of the verb need instead of want.
Yeah. Now tell us about Ruth Knopf of Charleston, South Carolina. What is the allure of the rose to her? Tell us about her.
Ruth is a woman who collects and saves old garden roses. These are roses that were created before 1867. She fell in love with roses when she was a kid and wanted to plant them around her home when she was newly married. Went in search of them and began to find the old roses in cemeteries, in abandoned farmsteads, all kinds of places. They're really hardy, roses are. And her particular rose that she's fascinated is the noisette, which is the first rose that was hybridized in America. And it's a Native American flower now, and it was hybridized by a rice planter in that area, in the Charleston, South Carolina area in the 1800s, and she has been saving it.
Mm, good for her.
Yeah. She actually has created the Noisette Study Garden in Charleston, South Carolina. It's a wonderful place to visit, and it shows how varied roses can be. Some of the roses there are quite small plants, naturally. Others are great mounding plants, bushy plants that practically push you out of the way, and they are all extraordinarily fragrant.
Yeah. You say in the book that the diversity of roses today is dazzling. You can have a rose with 5 petals or 65.
Yeah. Even hundreds of petals, actually.
Wow.
Naturally, the wild species of roses do tend to have 5 petals, and they're related. They look rather like an apple blossom to which they are related. But you can also have blossoms with hundreds of petals, like great full cups of things. They look actually more like peonies than rose blossoms.
Mm.
So the variation is wonderful. The scent is amazing. You can have scents that are like incense or like particular kinds of fruit. I actually have seen an apricot-colored rose that smells of apricot.
Yeah.
So it all has a way to pull you in, either the look or the color or the scent.
How many varieties are there?
Do you know, off the top of my head, I don't know precisely. I know that there are tens of thousands of named varieties. I think at the moment in the American Rose Society listing of roses, there are about 30,000 named varieties of rose.
Wow.
Yeah. It's astounding. The Queen of Flowers, that's what people call the rose. The Queen of Flowers has certainly got us to do all kinds of things for her, you know, to create all of these varieties.
I am the rose, and you will bow down.
That's right. You will bow down. We've been bowing down for a long time. Yeah. The rose has been around for over 30 million years.
Yeah. Speaking of the American Rose Society,
yes.
Tell us about the events that they stage for competitive rose gardeners.
Okay. The American Rose Society sponsors three national shows a year. These are shows in which people bring cut stems of rose that they have grown in their own outdoor gardens and show them. They first groom them, and then they show them to judges in a staged competition. It's much like a dog show, or like the French woman who was just on the radio before I came on, raising cats and showing cats. And they will groom their roses for hours, as I said, and then show them in vases to judges who judge the degree of perfection of the variety of the rose. I should also point out that local rose societies and district rose societies all over the country stage rose shows, sometimes just very small, quite casual ones, and others quite formal.
Mm. Now, I understand what is involved in grooming a dog or a cat, but how do you groom a rose?
Well, you move the petals that may not be in perfect overlapping concentric circle. You can move those with the end of a small makeup brush. You might separate petals that are too close together, are sticking close together, with Q-tips, wanting to bend them slightly backward for that somewhat open look. The goal is to take the Q-tip out, of course, and then have the petal stay where it should. You might also force those petals apart with cotton balls and pieces of cotton fluff. You definitely want to prune off any dry edges from the edges of leaves with deckle-edged shears, and you certainly want to shine up and get any dirt off the leaves with a wet cloth of some sort. Competitors are allowed to remove anything they want from the rose, but they must not put anything on the stem.
Interesting.
Yes.
So how long has this been going on?
Well, it's been going on since the mid-1800s. It came to us from England, which is, I suppose, where much of our original rose addiction for we Americans come from. They came up with rose shows in the 1840s, and they came across the Atlantic practically immediately. Mm. They've been popular ever since. It appeals to, I think, both our love of falling in love with a plant and with celebrating its perfection and its beauty, and admittedly, our love of competition. Our love is, as some of these rosarians will say, of kicking butt with their roses.
There are people growing roses in places where it's very hard to grow roses. We only have about a minute and a half left here. Maybe you'd tell us a story about the lengths to which some of these folks will go.
I will, and I'll tell you about Lois Ann Helgeson, who grows over 500 roses in northern Minnesota, and she practices what is called the Minnesota tip. For her roses that are too tender to survive the winter, she will bend over the rose. They tend to be quite flexible. Split open the soil, put the top of the rose under the soil, and cover it all back up. She does this for over 200 of her roses each fall. And as she says, when you look out in the back in her yard after she's done it, it looks like a little graveyard out there. But then in the spring, she digs them up, and they bloom gorgeously.
Oh, amazing story.
Yes.
Do you grow roses?
Celeste, I do. I have to report that I only grow a few, but I'm getting better at what I grow.
Yeah.
And the last time I went through a rose catalog a few weeks ago, I counted up all the check marks of the roses I couldn't live without, and there were 26 of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
It happened to me.
You're
on your way. Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for talking with me this afternoon.
It's been a delight.
Aurelia Scott is the author of Otherwise Normal People Inside the Thorny World of Competitive Rose Gardening. The book is published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill.